Today on Maine Calling, the vast scope of brain injuries. We're in the midst of another NFL season with another batch of news headlines about a high-profile player getting injured and whether the league's concussion protocol is strong enough. It's an important issue, but brain injury experts emphasize that millions of regular people, not just athletes, suffer from brain injuries and need help and support too. People who have fallen, suffered a stroke, are victims of domestic violence, or perhaps have long COVID can have brain injuries. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, state experts discuss how they are working to understand the unmet needs and concerns of those living with brain injuries and their families. We'll talk with an advisory council's co-chairs and other experts about resources available and those lacking. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible by Welsh & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welshforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, strengthening Maine's coastal and island communities through education, health, and support. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. There are obvious causes of brain injuries, such as hard hits to the head in football, boxing, or soccer. But there are more everyday or hidden causes as well. Today, we're going to learn about different kinds of brain injuries and about prevention, treatment, and support. My guest today, Sarah Gaffney, who is Program Coordinator for the Brain Injury Association of America's Maine Chapter, Lee Glynn, who is a brain injury survivor and co-chair of the Maine Acquired Brain Injury Advisory Council, and Dr. McKenna Murtaugh, Clinical Director of Goodwill Neuro Rehabilitation Services. We invite you to join the conversation. What are your questions about brain injury or about services here in Maine? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can post a comment on social media or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. And just a reminder that our Maine Calling phone number is different than the one for Maine Public's fall membership drive. The Maine Calling number is 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us here. Sarah, when the Miami Dolphins quarterback recently had two head injuries in a row, it led to another outcry over NFL concussion protocols. And we hear about these awful brain injuries in sports such as football, but it's not just athletes who are affected. I know that millions of other Americans are. Is there a more typical or common way that people get brain injuries?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that someone can acquire a brain injury. I think we hear a lot about traumatic brain injuries, like you're describing. Sports concussions have gotten a lot of coverage in recent years. Traumatic injuries can also occur during car accidents, assaults, falls, that type of thing. And then there's also non-traumatic injuries that can occur when someone has a stroke, for example, or a brain tumor, or an anoxic or hypoxic injury when the brain is deprived of oxygen. So that can happen when someone has an overdose or a near drowning. There's lots of different ways that people can acquire brain injuries.
When we talk about these different ways of acquiring brain injuries, is the end result that no matter how you've acquired it, many of the symptoms and many of the challenges in healing are similar?
Yes and no. We have a saying in the field that if you've seen one brain injury, you've seen one brain injury. So every injury is different, but yes, a lot of the symptoms can be similar across types of injuries.
Dr. Murtaugh, I'll turn to you. What are some of the symptoms of a brain injury? What are some of the red flags that somebody might need to be checked out?
That's a great question, Jennifer. There are a number of different symptoms of a brain injury, really depending on where the injury specifically occurred in the brain. That being said, there are a number of overall symptoms that we look for when we bring somebody in for an intake. We might look at headache, nausea, vomiting, sensitivity to light, cognitive changes like difficulty thinking, difficulty remembering, difficulty concentrating. We'll also see changes in personality, increased anxiety, depression, PTSD. So I'd recommend folks keep an eye out for anything that's different after an injury. And if they're noticing changes in that person, to bring them in to get looked at.
Are there certain age groups or other demographic groups who are most affected?
Yeah, there are a number of different age groups that are more that tend to have more traumatic brain injuries. The young and the old, particularly teenager, early adolescent, and the older obviously falls. But also, as Sarah was mentioning, strokes tend to happen in older age. Overdoses or anoxic injuries can really happen at any age. Depending on how old somebody is, they may be more susceptible to a specific type of injury or more at risk, but it really runs the gamut.
Sarah, the program before this program, On Point, was talking about the link between brain injury and domestic violence. We did not know On Point was going to be airing that show today, but it's really wonderful to have more attention on this topic. Are you seeing that, Sarah, often? And is that something that we're beginning to understand more about, the link between domestic violence and brain injury?
Absolutely. So a lot of recent studies have shown domestic violence survivors have often acquired brain injuries, either from a traumatic standpoint, through assaults, but also strangulation is another very common cause of brain injury in domestic violence survivors. And efforts to kind of raise awareness around that and make sure that these individuals are receiving support and treatment after their injuries is really important.
Lee, you are a brain injury survivor as well as an advocate. Tell us about what happened. Tell us your story.
It's probably quite similar to a lot of stories. I was an active and healthy 63-year-old. I jumped out of bed one morning to take a shower and noticed that when I turned on the bathroom light that my hand didn't really feel the same. And I looked at myself in the mirror and touched my face, and I could barely feel the right side of my face. And I returned to the bedroom and asked my spouse to take me to the hospital because I thought I was having a stroke. She never got that far. I collapsed shortly afterward. It was a brain hemorrhage, a little hemorrhage in the deep inside my brain that spurted a little bit of blood. And that started a trip that eventually took me to Portland to Maine Medical, and then eventually back into Augusta at a acute rehab. It took about a month of hospitalizations all told, and it turned out they told me it was a moderate stroke. I had it on October 29th of 2017, which is also Stroke Awareness Day, World Stroke Awareness Day. The irony of that was not lost on me. It felt like I had won the door prize that day.
Oh, my goodness.
But I recovered. It was the beginning of a very dark period for me because you can imagine going from active and healthy to bedridden and using a wheelchair. It was particularly devastating for me, as well as the ripple effect of that going out through your family is just astounding when you actually survive and realize what's going on. It's been a miracle to me to go through it. It was actually what caused me to meet Sarah Gaffney. I attended a support group meeting in Brewer. It was the closest one I could find. And she happened to be the guest speaker that day. And that that beginning, that that first support group that I attended made a big difference in my recovery, both physically, but more importantly, mentally.
Here we are 5 years later. I'm so glad, Lee, you survived, obviously. Now you're involved with efforts to raise awareness and educate people. What is the message that you feel as though people need to hear the most?
I really consider myself a hope broker. I think that most people that receive a brain injury, it is so pervasive and so it affects everything that we do, every step that we take, every thought in our head. One of the hardest things for me was during recovery, during the treatment period, once I established a relationship with a therapist or a neurologist or a doctor, I would ask the same question, and that would be, what do you think is going to happen to me? How is this going to unfold? What's my recovery going to look like? And every person, every medical professional said the same thing. We don't know. When you see one brain injury, you've seen one brain injury. We can't predict it. And I was amazed that every single therapist, every single person I talked to, looking for some guidance, some hope, simply said the same thing. We don't know what your recovery is going to look like. Until I finally, after I was discharged from the hospital and the home health people came into the house, eventually I went to outpatient rehab and I met a therapist there. Well, I did the same thing with those people. I asked to meet them first, and I said, can you tell me that I'm going to recover from this? And this one therapist stood up and she said, sure, you can. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be fun. You're going to want to quit, but you can recover, and I'll be right there with you. And that little conversation really made a huge difference for me. It's so hard to see that there's going to be another an end result that's positive. I honestly considered suicide on a daily basis. I couldn't imagine living the way that I was going. I had no right side of my body. And that therapist and her encouragement and the ability to get into support groups really is what turned the corner for me. So I guess if anything, if I'm going to say anything, it would be that there's hope, that there's magical things called neuroplasticity and therapies that are going to help you get better at it. I heard an expression this morning from David Grant. He said that he used the phrase post-traumatic growth. He suffered a brain injury, and he said that after everything was all settled, he found that he had grown, he had changed, his life had gone off in a different direction, and he said, I'm going to call that post-traumatic growth. And that is such a wonderful term, isn't it?
It really is. Dr. Murtaugh, I understand people call you Dr. Mack. What can you tell us about what Lee just said about growth in one's brain, in one's function after a brain injury? And also, if you would, touch on some of the therapies that Lee alluded to. What are treatments for a brain injury?
Yeah, so Lee used the fancy term neuroplasticity, which is essentially what we build our treatments off of. For a number of years, we used to think that the brain did not regenerate, that when you had an injury to the brain, you couldn't regrow that tissue. And over the last probably 30, maybe 35 years, we've really seen changes in that understanding of the brain, where we do see regeneration, where we do see growth. In fact, every time you learn something new, you're actually growing. Your brain is growing. You're extending axons connecting to different neurons to connect that information to connect it to the information you already know. So we know a lot more about how the brain is really active in the recovery process. And so we use that idea in our treatment, and we try to help people relearn how to do the things that they used to do, whether that's talking, walking, cooking, driving, or getting back to some of the recreational tasks that they like to do. So we use a variety of different approaches, whether it's occupational therapy, speech-language pathology, physical therapy, recreational therapy, counseling, nursing. We try to hit on everything because we've seen the best impact when people are addressing really all aspects of their brain, the emotional, the physical, the social, the cognitive. When somebody's engaging all of their brain and working on recovering all of their brain, we see much better outcomes. And so we essentially try to help people regrow neuronal tissue around areas of deficit so that they can do those things that they used to do, maybe in a different way, but so they can get back to those things that they want to do.
We are talking about the very common injury of brain injury, both traumatic brain injury and otherwise. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from St. Mary's Health System, accepting new primary care patients in Lewiston, Auburn, and Poland. stmarysmaine.com/primary care. By Choral Art, presenting its Portland holiday tradition, Christmas at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception on December 3rd and 4th. Choralart.org. And by Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping building thriving businesses all across Maine. bangor.com/mainstreetbanking.
And you are listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio, listener-supported Maine Public Radio. Hi, I'm Scott Marshall in here with Susan Sharon, and we are here just for a few minutes to ask you to share your support today, the last day of our fall membership drive. Please call with your support at 1-800-866-1475. You can go online at mainepublic.org. Support Maine Calling, support On Point, support all of the programming here at Maine Public. And Susan, for new donors, we have a matching opportunity here.
That's right. All donations this break are being matched by a generous donor and supporter, Laura Jackson. So that means if you pledge at a level of $10 a month, your donation automatically turns into $20 a month and so forth and so on. A number to call to have that happen for you and for this station is 1-800-866-1475. And Scott, I just want to say the thing about Maine Calling and On Point today, it's a difficult topic, but such an important one. I love topics and programs like this that make you think about something in a different way. Those are kind of my favorite stories and favorite programs. And this one on brain injury touches home for me. I have a daughter who had a brain injury, and I wasn't sure how she would be afterward. I think she still has lingering symptoms. So I really appreciate programs like Maine Calling and On Point, especially when they offer resources and support for people like the guest who's talking now. It makes you feel as if you're not alone, that you have a community out there, and there's something for everyone on a show like this. 1-800-866-1475 if you're a supporter of this kind of program. Please call and make your pledge today.
That's right, at 1-800-866-1475 or online at mainepublic.org. Susan, you're so right in terms of sharing these types of stories with listeners, with viewers on Maine Public Television when we have that opportunity, bringing light to topics that deserve to be heard. We need to understand what's going on with brain injuries from the people that we're hearing from today. I know, having played college football, a lot of concussions back when I played that were completely overlooked. And, you know, it's a much safer sport than it was then. Long way to go. But to better understand the ramifications of that, I think are extremely important, not only in sport, but for other items as well. We've heard a lot about that today. It's your support. It's donor support that makes that all happen at 1-800-866-1475.
That's right. It wouldn't be possible without listeners and donors to keep this kind of program and all these programs that you value going. More than 70% of our funding comes from people just like you. And to keep it, to keep the programs you expect, it's going to require the community support to make this show part of the community. 1-800-866-1475. I'm looking forward to the rest of the show, and we'll get back to it in just a moment. But we're just asking you to take the time on this last day of our fall membership drive to become a member if you haven't already. And thank you so much to those of you who've called. And if you haven't, please take the time. It only takes a minute. Again, 1-800-866-1475. And thank you so much.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about brain injuries on Maine Calling today, research and treatment and support for people with brain injuries. With me today, Lee Glynn, who is a brain injury survivor and co-chair of the Maine Acquired Brain Injury Advisory Council. Dr. McKenna Murtaugh, Dr. Mack, Clinical Director of Goodwill Neuro Rehabilitation Services, and Sarah Gaffney, Program Coordinator for the Maine Chapter of the Brain Injury Association of America. You can share your comments and questions by email, talk@mainpublic.org. You can comment on social media or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now, Jennifer Jello, who is Program Director for Neuro Restorative Maine and co-chair with Lee Glynn of the Maine Acquired Brain Injury Advisory Council. Thanks so much for joining us, Jennifer, and talk about Neurorestorative Maine. What does Neurorestorative Maine do to help people with brain injuries?
Thanks for having me. We have a number of programs like Goodwill. We also have a neurorehab clinic that supports some of the work that Lee was talking about, where physical therapists, occupational therapists, neuropsychologists, speech therapists, cognitive therapists, they're working in an integrated setting to help people continue their rehab journey. We also have homes, so if there is someone that requires 24/7 support, there is support available to help someone have life in a community setting, but a little more assistance might be needed. I think we sometimes think of injury is something that's visible and something we can see, but very often with brain injuries, it's an invisible injury. You can't see, you see someone with an amputation and you know that they have trouble with mobility, but an insult to the brain doesn't always present that way. And, as a member of the Acquired Brain Injury Advisory Council, we've partnered with the state and we have public hearings across the state every fall to get feedback from Maine people to hear where the gaps in services are and what they're struggling with. And some of the feedback, even this last year, that we've heard is that people have a brain injury, they get out of the hospital or some type of acute or skilled setting, they go back into the community and they're really struggling. So the support groups that Lee mentioned are essential, and there are 8 of the neuro rehab clinics across Maine from Caribou to Standish. And those are also resources for individuals that might need to continue their therapy but still remain at home and continue to progress.
What, Jen, and I know that you and Lee are on this important advisory council, so you're advising state leaders. What do you believe needs to be done to provide more help and support to people who have had brain injuries?
We just met to establish our priorities for 2023, and a lot of that has been based on the feedback from Maine people. Access to services is high on the list. Very often, a person with a brain injury is not driving. We have a very rural state. Getting to medical appointments, getting to rehab, or even a person that wants to return to work is often not able to do so. So transportation is a high priority on that list. There's a huge need for children and youth with brain injuries. So there's a lot that's needed there. We've had a lot of accomplishments in the last few years, but there's certainly more work to do.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That was Jennifer Jello with Neuro Restorative Maine and with Maine's Acquired Brain Injury Advisory Council. I'll go now to Cindy calling from Saco. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. And yeah, my experience has been I've had a concussion from 3 months ago, and I hit my eyebrow getting in the car pretty hard. And I just assumed that the neurologist that I've been seeing, that I've been treated for migraines over the years, would see me, and was told that they wouldn't because I didn't lose consciousness or had stitches. So that was a surprise. And, you know, it's just every, like my eye doctor, PCP, they all assume I'm going to work with a neurologist. And that's just not the case, and which is too bad. And I guess it's because they made a decision years ago because of the volume of patients they see to not see post-concussion syndrome folks. So, yeah, I've just been trying to figure out a way to go down this path for healthcare. And so now I've been seeing my osteopath and about to start seeing PT. Mine seems to all be associated with photosensitivity. And so now I'm getting a referral to Mass Eye and Ear in Boston and also Brigham and Women's concussion team. But I just think I know it's so great to even – none of these people have told me about, you know, the Brain Association that your folks are here on line today. And, I mean, that would have been so helpful 3 months ago if I knew they existed. Yeah. So it would
Cindy,
be great
let me tell you
– put out there.
Yeah, I'm going to let Sarah respond, but I also want to read an email here from Courtney. My name is Courtney Michalik, and I'm a brain injury attorney at Disability Rights Maine. I'm so glad you're featuring this critical issue on your program because it affects so many Mainers. I want your audience to know that if they or a loved one is struggling with any aspect of brain injury, from access to services and resources, to rights violations, to accommodations for working, transportation to appointments, we are here to help and provide information. We can be reached at 1-800-452-1948 or at drme.org. And we will put those links, of course, on our that's on Facebook already, but we'll put that on our webpage and in our newsletter. Sarah Gaffney, what would you tell Cindy? And also, I want to know if the story that you're hearing from Cindy is one that you hear over and over again, that for some reason somebody doesn't meet some bar to get the treatment that they feel as though they really need. In this case, Cindy says she didn't lose consciousness, so she wasn't admitted.
Yeah, so unfortunately, access to care, whether it's seeing a specialist or even just getting the brain injury acknowledged, is something that we hear a lot about. But the one thing I would say is that we have a Maine Brain Injury Information Center that's available to help folks navigate services and resources. That number is 800-444-6443. And anyone can call it, so a survivor, a family member, a professional, anyone seeking Maine brain injury, you know, information, resources, supports. It can be as simple as, hey, I need to find a support group in my area. But then we also have a more intensive service called Neuro Resource Facilitation. That's more one-on-one, longer-term support. And all of these services are free. And they're available for Mainers to call and get assistance with some of this navigation. It can be a really bewildering experience trying to navigate life after brain injury.
Okay, and again, that's the Maine Brain Injury Resource Center?
Maine Brain Injury Information Center. And it's 800-444-6443.
All right. Thank you. And good luck to you, Cindy, navigating. And I hope that these resources are able to help you just a little bit. We're going to go now to Dan calling from Freeport. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Hi. Nice to talk to you, Jennifer. This is Dan Kagan from Berman and Simmons. I'm so happy to hear from Sarah and Mac and Lee. Your story is so important. And the nature of my practice is I focus largely on helping folks who have acquired brain injury through trauma. And there was a couple things, particularly that Max said, that really rung true for me. And that has to do with the labeling. You know, it's one thing to be told you have a mild traumatic brain injury and have other people seize on that word mild, meaning in a common connotation, it suggests that it's not an important thing. And that can be extremely difficult because most people who acquire brain injuries they often look terrific to their family, to their friends, and they just cannot understand what's going on inside them. And that can be enormously frustrating. The second part that both Sarah and Mac and Lee all know is that it's really hard when you see a physician or a healthcare provider who relates to you, yes, we accept you have a concussion and we understand you have a concussion. And the information they're given is that most people get better within 3 months or whatever, pick a number of months, but it's relatively short in time, which leaves those sufferers feeling as if theirs persists longer, there must be a reason. And the reason isn't one that the patient necessarily gets credit for. The fact is, rarely, particularly with traumatic brain injuries, are they acquired in a vacuum. So, for example, if someone is in a traumatic event like a car wreck, their entire body is likely harmed in a serious way. And the brain takes so much energy to repair itself, but a lot of that energy that's necessary is also going to repair other parts of the body. So the recovery time can be prolonged through no fault of the patient, but rather because there's only so much restorative energy that the body can allocate to the brain to facilitate the new neuroplasticity that Mac referenced. I really wanted to add that because that idea of an expectation of a recovery within a period of time is simply false. And I find over and over that my clients who are their patients are given information and expectations that they can't meet through no fault of their own.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for calling in and adding this perspective. We know we've had you on Maine Calling before. Dan Kagan calling in from Freeport, offering some really important perspective for brain injury survivors. Thanks so much. Sarah, as you hear what Dan says, does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's navigating life after brain injury, there are so many challenges. And there is, as Lee mentioned before, there isn't necessarily a clear path forward for what a recovery time is going to look like, what gains are going to be made. And that ambiguity is so challenging to come to terms with. I think one thing that I would just like to remind folks is there's a lot of support out there. Maine has an amazingly robust brain injury community. We have almost 19 brain injury support groups across the state that meet virtually, in person, and hybrid. We have a Maine Brain Injury Resource Directory that's available for free for anyone who would like to access those resources. We have the resource facilitation services I mentioned before. We have a resource fair, a conference. Like, there's just so much out there that can help with moving forward with one's recovery, but in particular, just not feeling alone and not having to go the journey alone. I think that's really important.
Calling in now is Kim Block, longtime news anchor at WGME and a brain injury survivor. Kim, I'm so glad you were able to call in. We last talked to you a year and a half ago about your story, about your fall that led to your journey. And I'm wondering, here, a year and a half later, how are you doing?
Oh, Jen, it's so nice to talk with you again. And just thank you for continuing to cover this topic. Hearing all of the people calling in and the people on your panel just gives a lot of hope to those of us who are still trying to recover from traumatic brain injury. And in answer to your question, you know, I think being a journalist who told stories for so many years, we all love kind of a beginning, a middle, and a nice happy ending. And I would say that I'm at the happy part, but not the ending part. Mm. And, you know, not all day is especially happy. You know, I think Lee mentioned there can be depression, and there's a real emotional roller coaster to an injury that doesn't have a linear recovery. But I have come a long way since we spoke. You know, I drive short distances, not long distances, still not able to read a book, which is one of my deepest passions, but I have been able to, you know, continue on to use some of my skills before my injury to help share my story and hopefully, as everybody is saying, you know, lend support to people going through this by doing some public speaking, which is something I wasn't sure I'd ever be able to do again. And so, you know, I'm happy about that. I will say, you know, I'm hearing a lot of things here about the trigger of people saying there is such a thing as a mild traumatic brain injury, because really anything that upends your life, as much as this did mine, it forced me, you know, to step away from a career I loved, is not necessarily mild. But you learn so much resilience. And about a year after I had to step down from my job, I unexpectedly had open heart surgery, and I think the tools that I had gained in my initial stages of recovery really helped me through that. So I've learned to kind of balance life. I call it limited but functional, and I think we can all relate to the fact that it's important to do things you love and enjoy, even if you are limited because of what they bring to you, but then understand that you need to listen to your body to recover. And so that's kind of where I'm at.
Kim, you heard Lee when I asked him what his message is to others who may be going through this, and it said he has a message of hope. What is your message to others who are starting this journey that you're so far into?
I think, and Lee is even further into it than I am, and I respect and admire him and so many others who have reached out to me as well. But I think what we're so afraid of in life is that life will hand us things that we won't be able to handle. And people say to me, I could never do this, or I could never do what you do. And I think what I have learned is that, yes, you will. And if I am no different than you, and, you know, the fact that I had to kind of accept a new me and become a new person understand how to navigate this new me is proof that you can. And then there are always going to be other hardships. So, you know, not to live in fear, but also to be very sensitive to the fact that people around us every day are walking and carrying burdens, and many of them are invisible, like traumatic brain injuries are. And so just to be patient, gentle, and kind, because some of these things we truly can't see, and so it's just important that, you know, that we walk around in life knowing that we each deserve each other's support.
Well, Kim Block, as wise and compassionate and wonderful as ever, thank you so much for taking the time to call in today. We're going to take another quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, a locally owned energy efficiency company with career opportunities available. Details at evergreenyourhome.com. By Grogan & Company, fine art and jewelry auctioneers, assisting New England families since 1987. Learn more at groganco.com. And by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Ellsworth, and Portland.
And you're listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. I'm Susan Sharon here with Scott Marshaldon, and we're just taking a few minutes out of this very compelling program this morning to ask for your support on the last day of our fall membership campaign drive. And Scott, the importance of calling right this minute is that all these pledges for new members are being matched.
That's right. If any folks haven't made a gift yet to Maine Public, 100% of your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our good friend, Laura Jackson. Laura, thank you for your support. Longtime supporter of Maine Public Radio, believes in the power of journalism, believes in the power of stories like we're hearing today. Susan, amazing story that's brought to us, all of us, from our Maine Calling team, carefully curated and wonderfully thought out. Relevant stories that matter. They matter each and every day. And it's a conversation here on Maine Calling. And that's so vital. It's not a one-way lecture from us to our audience. It's an engagement opportunity that we all appreciate. I appreciate it. I've been a longtime listener, grew up in Maine, and I've always valued public television, public radio. Susan, I know you've long time have done the same. And it's support, as we know, of shows like this, of programs like this, of organizations like Maine Public. Call now, 1-800-866-1475.
the thing I like about Maine Calling, and I can't listen to it every day, but is that a topic like this, there's something for everyone on the, on this type of a program. And it's, it, you really have appreciation for guests, not just Kim Block, whose story we many of us have read about and know, but for other guests on the program and for the people who call in. It's such a great resource to know that there are supports out there, like what just was mentioned on the program, 19 brain injury support groups in the state of Maine. Who would have known? I would never have known that if not for this program. It's so valuable to have that. But even, Scott, as you say, the diversity of topics on a program like this for an hour every weekday, just in the last couple of weeks, the team has had election analysis. They've had a show about the World Cup and art appreciation, which was a great show. Tributes for veterans and remembrances on Veterans Day. That's just some of the programs in just a week or two that they've had on here. And I just think it's a great example today of how this is it provides a sense of community. 1-800-866-1475. If you're already a member, thank you. If you'd like to consider raising your gift, great. And if you want to become a new member, now's the time to do it, because as Scott said, all new members' gifts are being matched. $10 a month turns into $20 a month, and you can make that happen by calling 1-800-866-1475 this morning.
And thanks again to Laura Jackson for matching all first-time donors to Maine Public. Thank you, Laura, for your support and for your belief in public radio. And once again, your support on pledge drives like this today, support Maine Calling, support all of the shows that we hear, support Susan Sharon, your reporting, and all of the good work that your journalists are doing across the state. It's the partnership Maine Public has with our audience, with you. Won't you share your support with us now to fuel the next 60 years of Maine Public? You can do that when you call 1-800-866-1475 or go online at mainepublic.org. And thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today on Maine Calling, we are talking about brain injuries and resources, symptoms, what is out there in Maine and what needs to happen next. Joining me, Dr. McKenna Murtaugh with Goodwill Neuro Rehab, Sarah Gaffney with the Brain Injury Association of America, and Lee Glynn with the Maine Acquired Brain Injury Advisory Council. If you're quick, you may be able to get in a call at 1-800-399-3566 or send a brief email to talk@mainecalling.org. We're going to go to Kathy, who is calling from Brunswick. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
I am a speech-language pathologist. At one time, I was a brain injury specialist who ironically suffered a mild traumatic brain injury almost a year ago. What I found about the experience is that as I was going through it, I could identify with areas of my brain and cognitive functions that weren't working. And I used to tell my therapist, I'm not online. I'm not completely online. And that might have to do with reading or problem solving, cognitive processing. And I had speech, physical therapy, occupational therapy. It took at least 7 months of seeing therapists 3 times a week to get to the point where I could return to work again. And I returned part-time. And it gave me tremendous insight into what a brain-injured patient is going through. I've worked with patients who have had mild traumatic injuries and then really severe brain injuries. And it's made me more patient as far as their recovery, because I can see now if we're asking a patient or working with the patient to do something, that part of their brain just isn't working yet. It isn't up to the function that we need it to be. One thing that I found was really helpful in my recovery was seeing a neuro-optometrist. His name was Colin Robinson over in Windham. He unfortunately is retiring, but I would recommend seeing a neuro-optometrist. He had a program that I used called Syntonics, which works with light spectrum in reducing a lot of the severe symptoms of brain injury, the light sensitivity and being overwhelmed by all of the sensory input.
Kathy, thanks for your call. And Dr. Mack, to Kathy's point, is that one of the therapies that you use?
That's not one that we use specifically, but we do try to keep abreast of the most up-to-date research and treatments available. And kind of like within that vein, we actually just are bringing online a really exciting treatment called neurofeedback, which has been found to be evidence-based for treating TBI as well as a number of mental health conditions that we often see comorbid with TBI. Just to give listeners a little idea of what neurofeedback is, it's a treatment that allows real-time changes to your brain activity. We actually put a cap on people's heads. It looks a bit like a spider. And we are able to measure electrical activity in different areas of the brain. So we can see what areas are overly activated, what areas are underactivated, what areas are right where we want them to be. And then we use a very simple approach, a behavioral approach, to actually get the brain to change those levels of activation to where we want them to be, to bring down overactivation or bring up underactivation. And we could see some pretty amazing outcomes in terms of actual brain growth and improvements in things like memory, cognition, social-emotional functioning.
Kathy, thanks so much for your call. On Facebook, Ashura writes, please talk about brain injury that results from Lyme disease and related tick-borne illnesses resulting in brain fog, which can be disabling. I was unable to work in my sculpture studio for 2 years, and I'm only now recovering. I told it is inflammation of the blood vessels in the brain, but treatment has been unreasonably difficult to obtain, and no one suggested any of the programs you've introduced today. And Sarah, I want to turn to you. Ashura mentions Lyme disease. I hear now that some people are thinking that long COVID may also cause brain injury.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, we've known for a long time that various infections, various disease processes can cause inflammation in the brain and can cause brain damage. Long COVID is definitely one of the newer, you know, all the research is still happening, but it's a big concern, certainly from the Brain Injury Association's perspective, for survivors who are dealing with the brain fog and the cognitive dysfunction, the fatigue, all of those symptoms that are very challenging to live with.
An email here from Ludmilla, who writes, thank you for talking about this topic. It is so important for people to understand that immediate rehabilitation is key to recovery of a brain injury. I had a family member who had an accident and suffered significant injury to the brain. This happened in the 80s, so it left him paralyzed on one side of the body. He was told he would never walk again. They put him with elderly patients and left to vegetate. A decade later, science changed and he received 24-hour care and physical therapy. He never walked again, but even after a decade, we saw some progress. I can only imagine the progress he would have made had they not told him to give up from the start. And Lee, I want to turn to you. You had help right from the beginning. Do you agree with Ludmilla?
Absolutely. Of course, I came into the world of brain injury through the stroke doorway. And so a lot of the things that I am familiar with stem from that. But one of the most important things is, you know, as Mainers, we're so tough and resilient. But if you suspect that you're having a stroke, don't lay down and take a nap to see if it goes away. Seek medical help immediately. There are amazing things that are available. The TPA shot that can blast the clots away. The sooner they get to medical help, the sooner and the quicker that begins, and they'll start to turn the corner sooner than later. The second thing that I'd like to bring up is I just want to repeat that number that Sarah Gaffney gave you, that 1-800-443-6443 is the main brain helpline. That's something that did not exist when I had my hospitalization, and it was so refreshing to know that there's somebody that you may not be able to get a roadmap to your recovery,
but these folks will steer you in the right direction for resources. And then finally, if you'll permit me, a lot of people today have said that the brain injuries are invisible, and I just want to take a little exception with that, because my stroke obviously made me much better looking than I used to be. I know that because my old friends that see me nowadays, as soon as they see me, they say, "Man, you look great." And they never said that before to me, Jen. This is all since my brain injury.
That's great. I'm going to go very quickly to Jack calling from Saco. Jack, we're almost out of time. If you could be quick, that'd be great.
Absolutely. I was in a pretty severe car accident about 20 years ago that caused a massive head trauma for me that did long-term memory damage. And I had that thing from the movie Memento where I couldn't retain long-term memory for about a couple of days. I don't really remember that time. I'm through that now. I'm wondering if there's the ability for me to, I never saw any sort of therapy or anything like that. It's been about 20 years. Is there a possibility for me to start seeking therapy now to help me with my cognitive issues that I'm currently dealing with?
Great. And I'm guessing, Dr. Mack, the answer is yes.
Absolutely, yes. We have seen that timeline doesn't seem to negate anybody from making some progress. So absolutely, I would encourage you to do so.
Thank you so much for your call, and thank you to our three guests for joining us today. Dr. McKenna Murtaugh, Clinical Director of Goodwill Neuro Rehab, Lee Glynn, a brain injury survivor and co-chair of the Maine Acquired Brain Injury and Advisory Council, and Sarah Gaffney, Program Director for Brain Injury Association of America's Maine Chapter. Today's sound engineer, KG Akimoladun, Maine Calling, produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.